On and live.
I think we're probably kicking into Twitch right now, because I know when I do my streams, they take a while, or at least Twitch does.
Yep. Let's see. Waiting for signal to tell us we're live. Hey, Talking Tech is live. All right.
We are live on Facebook and YouTube. Yeah.
We're live on Facebook and YouTube. Let's and Twitter's probably up too.
Twitch, we're up.
Okay, I'm waiting for notification on Twitch. Twitch usually takes a minute. Maybe.
All right, but we'll give Twitch some time to come around.
Probably still do introduction.
All right, so welcome to Talking Tech. My name is Sean Walsh. I'm the Emerging Services and Technologies Librarian here at your Madison Public Library. And with me, as always,
Charlie Barnacote. I am the Guiding Ohio Online Learning Coach here at the Madison Public Library.
And behind the camera is?
Behind the camera is Colt, and I am I'm producing tonight.
Yep, Colt's our video producer and audio producer, so all right. And you can chime in at any time. That's why we gave him a mic, you know.
There's
all right, so yeah. So we're getting going here. So first off, I'm going to wish everybody a happy Valentine's Day ahead of time. That's happening Monday next week. And hopefully get some good candy and maybe some technology for Valentine's Day. So, Charlie, I know I've got a pretty big story I want to talk to you.
Am I kicking off the...
So I was going to let you kick off because I'm going to pick up with something that we had viewer request. It's going to take a little while. Okay, so go ahead and do your thing.
Let's see. Which one do I want to start off with? Why not? We've been talking about EVs lately and everything else.
I just got a signal and I watched that Twitch went live.
I was going to say, it just came up on my phone too.
Yeah.
So, Koenigsegg, are they Swedish? They're Swedish, aren't they? I don't remember.
I don't remember
where.
No offense to any.
Yes,
any Finns,
I'm not trying
Swedes
to.
Or Norwegians. We don't remember where that comes from.
I'm just trying to remember where it's from.
It is.
But anyway,
it's definitely. It could be Dutch too.
It's yeah. I don't necessarily know. But
I get your props for just pronouncing the name.
Yeah. Well, I play a lot of racing games.
Oh, yeah.
So that's everyone. Kind of well, everyone pronounces it differently. There's probably some special way to pronounce it.
Yeah.
But
I think
right
that's
now,
pretty much what they pronounce on Top
I think
Gear,
so.
So
yeah.
Yeah.
So they've produced a electric motor that can put out, if I remember correctly, it's on here somewhere. It can, 335 horsepower and 443 foot-pounds of torque.
That is pretty phenomenal.
In a size of a 24-ounce, 24-pack of, energy drinks.
You know what? Hey, Colt, can you cut to camera 3 so we can see the
picture
on Charlie's laptop?
So we can see what it looks like here. Yeah. Like, that is a can of their energy drink that they have.
We're cutting.
Oh, wait. Is it still going? It's still waiting?
Yeah.
All right. Then we'll give it a minute.
Give it a second. I'm watching our feed to see when it cuts over, you know, because we're going to be behind a little bit.
Yeah.
Still thinking.
Yeah, it's kind of going.
Yep. So did it cut over, Colt?
It's not showing me that it cut over here.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Let me change it over. Change it over again.
All right, this is where we have all these wonderful dead air.
Ready. 3, 2, 1. Unplug.
All right.
And I'm going to wait for it for a second. And then 3, 2, 1. Plug back in.
And
then my window is going.
Got it?
Did it work now?
It works.
All right, hopefully we don't have to do that all the time. But we'll see.
All right. Hey, so, look, it's on the screen.
Exactly.
Right.
Now
this
it
is why we watch our own feed.
Yes. So that is a can of their energy drink that they own, they produce, next to the motor itself.
Yeah. That's pretty impressive.
And this is a compact electric motor that they plan to mass produce and use in their own cars.
That's pretty solid. And they're known for pretty crazy
fast cars.
Like super, you know, like the mega cars and whatever.
Koenigsegg 1-to-1.
Yeah.
You guys know what I'm thinking?
What's that?
Smart car.
The fastest smart car ever. That could
super
be
fast
awesome. Because smart car is only 3 cylinders.
Yeah.
Yeah. We could put one of those in the smart car. And we know where we can get a smart car.
Yeah.
This may evolve into Top Gear Madison Edition. All right. Do you want to cut back and see if it'll cut back okay?
Yeah. And then,
yep, cut. Worked great.
All right. Okay. So, you want to do one more story?
Want me to do another one?
Yeah.
All right. Might as well just keep going on the car route here. So,
right.
our some people at Toyota, some crazy people at Toyota, have decided that they want to make drifting, which is, you know, sending a car completely sideways.
Yeah.
In some control.
Yeah.
I'll say some control.
Chaos, sideways slide.
They're saying that they want to make this a potential safety feature.
Yes.
Like traction control.
So I see autonomous drifting is the title of your thing there.
So as they are doing, they're still continuing research on this, but imagine you being able to drift around a corner as a safety feature if you lose control.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's see. Because, I mean, basically, how you drift is you use the handbrake on your car, your emergency brake, which the fancy drifting cars have like these giant fancy handbrakes. But, I mean, essentially, you're yanking on that handbrake if you have one. You're yanking on the handbrake and just kind of letting the tail end slide over. Yeah, and that's a safety feature. Well, maybe in Northeast Ohio when it's snowy, you know, let that autonomous drifting kick in there as we're going down 480 with 4 inches of snow. Yeah.
But right now, they're only putting this towards their racing vehicles of sorts.
Safety.
Yeah, safety. So far, it's only on closed courses that they're testing this stuff on. I don't know if they'll actually ever really put this out to public use. If anything, it's going to be locked to a track mode probably in the Supra itself. But I found that interesting because I was like,
"That's pretty cool."
There's going to be robots and Formula Drift now.
I know. You know, how soon is it going to be? There's nobody in the NASCAR.
Yes.
You know, we're just going to be driving like remote controls. We've hit a couple of stories. So and by the way, feel free at any time to jump on the chat and send us a message. We should be able to pick up chat from Facebook, our two Facebook feeds, Twitch, YouTube, and I think Twitter will actually send us something through.
Okay.
So, all right. So one of our listeners, Chris, after the last show, sent a message in saying, "Hey, can you explain cryptocurrency?" So I figured I'd go like a deep dive into cryptocurrency for you guys. It's something that I've always kind of been fascinated with. I don't really dabble much in. But I am fascinated. And guys, chime in a little bit as we go through here. So let's talk about cryptocurrency. And you may hear a cryptocurrency, basically the most well-known is Bitcoin. Yes. I mean, there's a ton of other cryptocurrency, Dogecoin and just tons of stuff like that. But most people have heard of Bitcoin. So what is this thing? So it's a virtual currency. So it doesn't exist. You know, it's not a paper. It's not a real coin. It's just a computer file. That's secured with cryptography, meaning that it has some security built into it to prevent it from being copied, transferred, all that stuff. And you can't counterfeit it. You can't counterfeit a Bitcoin. One Bitcoin is a Bitcoin, period. There's no way to get around that. There is no counterfeiting. There is nobody stamping out new ones that are fake. There's only one way to do it. And to create a Bitcoin, you do something called mining, which is running basically a complex mathematical formula. And if you complete that formula before anybody else, you get access to the next amount of Bitcoin. So it's kind of like a game, I would say. It's a real life game. So what people are doing is building these giant Bitcoin mining things, which is the reason why we all have trouble finding video cards, because the video card processors, what they use to do this complex mathematical equation to generate a Bitcoin.
And there's a lot of money in it.
There's a lot of money. I mean, you know, Bitcoins went from, I can remember at one point, Bitcoins were like, you know, $100 for a whole Bitcoin. Fractional Bitcoins now, because you can break Bitcoins into pieces. Fractional Bitcoins are still thousands of dollars in some cases.
As of right now, they're worth 40. It's for every Bitcoin, it's $43,000. US dollars.
So one Bitcoin, 43,000 US dollars. Thank you, Colt.
That's a car.
That's a car. Bitcoin for one coin is a pretty decent car, you know. So you'll find people like China had giant Bitcoin mines.
That have been confiscated.
Yeah, that have been confiscated recently. But people are doing that. And they're using video cards. So they built these Bitcoin mining rigs, which generate a lot of heat. So you have to run a bunch of fans. They use a lot of electricity. And they run 24 hours a day.
Yes.
It's kind of fascinating to be able to make enough Bitcoin. You know, so you're running this mathematical formula, and when you solve it, That's your chance to get the next Bitcoin.
Yeah.
If you solve it just after someone else, you have to wait for more Bitcoin to be available. So that's why they're just hammering on these equations, hoping to be that person to get in. So if you can imagine, it's like everyone at the same time trying to click on something to get tickets for a movie or whatever. You're literally competing with, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. So that's Bitcoin, that's mining. And you hear the other word is blockchain. So blockchain is the database that's behind all the Bitcoins, and it's a distributed database. Oh, here's Margaret. Thank you. Have a good
evening. Thank you, Margaret.
So that's Margaret for our overhead speaker, so letting us know what's going on with the building. So blockchain is a distributed database, and it existed a little bit before Bitcoin. But the distributed part means that it's not in one central place. So that's kind of the interesting thing about Bitcoin, is that it's not owned by a single country. So most currency is owned by a country. Bitcoin's not. It's distributed out across multiple systems. So it has redundancy. So, you can't just like, you know, I don't know if you guys, one of my more favorite books is Fight Club. And kind of the point of the end of Fight Club is they blow up the financial sector, which, please, you know, I'm not advocating violence, but that's part of the book, is they blow up the financial sector to reset everyone. So they basically wipe everyone's record clean.
Yeah.
With Bitcoin, that doesn't exist anymore, because there is no way to basically take out the head of Bitcoin. It's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why people are interested in it. That being said, it's very speculative. So it's like playing the stocks. If you want to buy Bitcoin, it's the same as playing a stock, because it could go up, it could go down. So, you know, I know a lot of people got into Bitcoin early on and made a ton of money. But more recently, Bitcoin lost what? Here we go. $1.4 trillion with a T, dollars since November. So Bitcoin got up to a point in November and has lost $1.4 trillion.
I was going to say, I think I remember watching, because I have an app on my phone that kind of tracks it through, and I've been following it, because I was like, maybe it's fascinating. Maybe I won't. But I saw it. It was just like 4 or 5 days in a row. Bitcoin is going down. Wow. Like
As of today, just today, it went down. The worth of a Bitcoin went down $200.
Just today. So, I mean, think about Bitcoin as you think about stocks. And like, I had an awesome teacher in high school that, for my economics class, and he basically said, okay, here's how you see stocks. You take a pile of money. You could shred that money, or you can invest in stocks, and you can get the exact same result. You could lose everything. Yeah. So if you have extra money, you know, I don't know anybody who has extra money, but hey, let's just go with it. If you have extra money that it doesn't financially hurt you to get rid of, to not have, you know, you have an extra $200 laying around that is, you're not going to do anything.
Yeah.
You could put it in the stocks and you could make money, or you could totally lose that $200. It's not any different than going to Las Vegas and playing one of the games of chance and totally losing everything. So I'm kind of, Bitcoin is just fascinating to watch. I've never wanted to invest in it because, again, I have yet to have money that I can just run through the shredder. Just
send right in.
It just doesn't seem to work for me. And I did want to talk about something else, which are NFTs. We did mention NFTs in a couple of episodes ago. I just think the name is funny. Non-fungible tokens. And someone said, can you explain NFTs to me? And so we were in the office and I was kind of talking to everybody. And I feel like the best way to describe an NFT is it's an electronic file that's kind of like an autographed baseball card. Or an autographed
album, I think.
Album, I said album, like vinyl album, or an autographed comic book. But it's also one of those things like the limited production kind of things. So an NFT is could be anything. It could be an image. It could be a music clip. It could be a video. It could be art, other kinds of art. It could be a meme. So an animated thing. Mm-hmm. It could be a tweet. So an example is tweet by Dalek Mavericks owner Mark Cuban could be turned into an NFT. So it's kind of like owning someone's speech. Like I see autographs go through all the time in like scripts or speeches. It'd be like having a script or a speech.
Yeah.
Or virtual real estate. And I'm going to talk about meta a little bit and virtual real estate as we go down. So these objects are limited in quantity. Right. So there's only going to be like 10 of this type of NFT. And they're going to be signed and they're encrypted. And they run back, they run on blockchain. So they're actually stored in blockchain too. So they're stored in that giant distributed database everywhere. So you can't lose an NFT. So when someone said an NFT, think about maybe artwork by Banksy, who's coming to Cleveland. You know, Banksy does one-offs, but Banksy also has like, you know, a series of things that are maybe reproduced like lithographs and they're limited edition. And they may be signed or whatever. I don't know if Banksy actually signs. Well, he sort of signs stuff. I don't know if it's a he. You know, or something like, I think like, you know, a piece of artwork with a signature on it. And, you know, maybe there's 10 of them. Maybe there's 5 of them or a sculpture or something like that. So NFTs are just digital stuff that we're going to see on Antiques Roadshow in 40 years.
Yeah.
Someone says, hey, I was going through my computer, my grandma's computer, and I found this NFT. Is it worth anything? And the person on the Antiques Roadshow goes, oh my gosh, I've never seen that before. That's the Nanya cat meme. I've never seen it in person.
Yeah.
You know, I can just see it now.
Yeah, because these will be like the young kids on Antiques Roadshow.
Yeah.
That are like, oh, I've never seen that before. But then there's someone in the background like, I know what that is.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, I mean, it's to the point now where I've seen Magic the Gathering cards on Antiques Roadshow, and I'm going, man, I'm old. So Chris, thank you for asking that question. I hope we cover things for you. I hope that works for you. So, yeah, basically, it's all digital stuff, and it's all distributed. So it's kind of it's backed up, and you know who owns what has always been backed up. But you keep your Bitcoins and your NFTs in a wallet on your computer. And so what people have been doing lately is taking over someone's computer and stealing their wallet. So it's a high-tech mugging.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So go ahead. I talked about crypto losing money. And thanks, Colt, for the numbers in there. Colt's also running you know, some browser searches for us when we get hung up. So I appreciate that. All right, Charlie, you want to jump on to something else? Yeah.
Let's do some video game stuff. You know, we were talking about NFTs, we're talking about digital things.
Mm-hmm.
This is another digital thing, but except more widely available. So yesterday was a Nintendo Direct. If you don't know what that is a conference that Nintendo holds every so often, I think quarterly, that shows off new games and stuff that's coming to their consoles. So right now, with the Nintendo Switch being the current console, some of the stuff that I found today are some of the things that are coming out in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have ever played Mario Kart before.
I love Mario Kart.
Yes. The newest iteration of Mario Kart is Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Originally came out on the Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
And then they re-released it onto the Switch as with a basically a all-in-one package with all the DLC from the Wii U. Now, since there's still talk of a new Mario Kart 9 coming out at some point.
Yeah.
Or maybe they'll skip and go like Mario Kart X or something. You know, who knows?
I hate when they do that, though.
But anyway, they're coming out with $25 pass that if you purchase it, it is 48,
this is where I'm rubbing my eyes.
Yes. 48 new courses to the game. No new characters, which I'm kind of sad about.
That's kind of a bummer.
But from old and past Mario Kart games, such as like Mario Kart Tour, so the mobile game, they have a few of those. Mario Kart 64, Wii, DS, and the one from the Super Nintendo, right?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so they have a few courses from each of the old games. They're coming out in like spurts. Like every part, like I think they're going to extend it for like 2 years or something. They're going to release things for.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be interesting to see.
Nifty.
The first one does include a Wii classic called Coconut Mall that I've absolutely loved. And Choco Mountain from N64.
Okay.
So I'm excited.
Moo Moo Meadows?
No, Moo Moo Meadows is already in the game.
Oh, was it already in the
game? Yes. because that was from Wii, and then everyone loved that map, so they put it in 8. And then...
Yeah, because there's something about magic about Moomoo Meadows and having to deal with the cows being in the way.
Yes.
Yeah, so I just put in our chat, hey, feel free to ask us any questions as we go. We'd appreciate that. We'll keep talking about news, but anytime you have any questions, or like what Chris did, is after the fact, Chris commented on our video and said, hey, can you talk about, and we will. We'll do our best.
Yes, we'll try our
best. So I kind of wanted to go back to the Intel announcement. We've talked about this a little bit already. So the Intel $20 billion investment in Ohio, which is pretty darn awesome. So I realized this. Oh, it's Margaret.
Thank you, Margaret.
So 21 to B is the single largest investment in Ohio's history. Single largest business investment. So going back and actually scaling it to all the investments by Standard Oil and Rockefellers and the JP Morgans and all the people who invested in railroads and all the stuff, Carnegie, all the people invested in Ohio, all the steel mills, all of that industry. This is the biggest thing in history. And so it'll be kind of interesting because, you know, it's going to be the largest investment, but it's going to be its own self-contained city, basically. It's going to be that big. So, you know, it's outside of the Dayton area is basically where it's at. Not quite close today. And I was trying to figure out, they said that what city was, and I was trying to map and figure out kind of where it looks because I saw a couple people I know from down that way said it's near them. And so I was kind of triangulating where they could be. But yeah, theoretically, it's going to be its own city. Under several roofs, and that's kind of an interesting concept. I mean, you know, could live there in theory in Intel land.
What, Fordlandia?
Fordlandia, right? Exactly.
We don't talk about Fordlandia.
Just like Bruno, apparently.
Yes.
But here's the other thing to think about. This investment basically is almost to the point of a strategic oil reserve. Or a strategic reserve for chips. Because COVID and everything that went down with shipping and all that stuff has, and we've talked about this how many times on this show? Yeah. How many times? That, you know, we can't get cars because of chips. We can't do this because of chips. We can't do that because of chips. So this is going to be a strategic thing. It's like the strategic oil reserve. It's going to be a strategic chip reserve or a strategic chip manufacturing. And that may be why they're putting it towards Dayton. Because we do put interesting things towards Dayton because of Wright-Patt Air Force Base and some other things down there.
Yeah.
That may be a good reason why it's being built. There's also a lot of great land down there. Beautiful area too, by the way. I love all of Ohio. I know you're a big Cincinnati person. but I totally, I mean, some beautiful parts of Ohio down that way. But yeah, so strategic chips. Yes. Think about it that way. It's going to be a strategic chip reserve, strategic chip building.
I was to say, you're always telling me about why it was such a strategic place to be put. And I'm like, ah, that makes sense.
Yep. Right state, right Pat. A lot of industry, a lot of chip manufacturing happening. And Ohio State isn't that far away either. So computer engineering at both of those schools is pretty intense. And I mean, from up here, the people from Case, the people from Kent, the people from Youngstown State, all of those folks can come down that way and work a lot of IT industry.
Oh, yes.
So it's pretty cool.
Didn't you say we had silicon?
Yeah, that's the other thing is there's huge amounts of silicon. So there's a lot of sand reserves in Ohio in general. And that's partly because of the glaciers. So I feel like I'm getting all teachery and geography type person. So you got this thing called the terminal moraine where the glaciers kind of left off. Yeah. But it did push a lot of stuff, a lot of sand, a lot of silt as it dug out the Great Lakes, as it dug across Canada. So thank you, Canada, for all the awesome silicon and silica. But yeah, there's a lot of it in Ohio, and like Indiana has the Indiana Dunes Park, and that is because of glaciers and all that stuff. So a lot of that sand for us is buried. Like if you leave Madison, you head out through Thompson, Sidley has their big, should we call it sand quarry? Can we call it a quarry? Sand dig?
I think we call it the sand pit. But
sand pit.
That's what I call it, but. You know, it's probably
that's a good quarry. Example right there is, you know, they have tons of sand and silica. There's pure silica you can get a hold of, but you can turn a lot of stuff from sand. You know what I mean, You make glass, you can make chips, a lot of stuff. So what else you got, Charlie?
Well, moving on to still some video game things. Who remembers the Wii?
I can't see it, but I'm raising my
hand. Okay, yeah, Colt's raising his hand. I'll do it for him. So another Wii classic, well, quote-unquote Wii classic, is coming to Switch. Wii Sports. But it's called Nintendo Switch Sports.
Alrighty then, because we're just going to take the word Wii out and just say Switch.
Yeah, it's going to be Switch, but which, okay. But the ironic part is that recently I've also read
Switch sandwich.
But recently, the Charlie. Switch has outsold the Wii just recently.
Finally.
So conveniently, they're putting out a Wii-ish classic into the form of the Switch game.
But I will say, you know, that was the gimme game. That was the free game that came with the Switch. But that was kind of the everyone's intro into
the motion controls.
The motion control stuff. And I mean, it did kind of blow everyone out of the water. I can remember, you know, playing, you know, when the Wii came out, a friend of mine got one and we had a party. And not for the unveiling of the Wii. We're nerdy, but not quite that nerdy. We're close. But we had a party, and so we were in the garage, and we put a sheet up, and that was the first time we all got to see the Wii. And we're doing bowling, you know, and it was like, oh my gosh, this is mind blowing.
Yeah.
And then we were doing baseball, and we were all hurting our arms trying to swing so hard with the Wii motes to do the home run derby and stuff. Oh, yeah. And tennis. We were doing a lot of tennis. We almost killed each other a couple times doing tennis.
The amount of TVs that fell to the...
I was going to say, the number...
the amount of remotes that have went into TV
the Wii
screens.
Remotes that have gone through walls and things. You needed those straps.
Oh, yeah.
And the silicone skin. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And I would say any of the real, like, Wii titles that were, you know, like Wii Sports or, like, Wii Play or all those kinds of games, those were the best for the motion controls.
Mm-hmm.
The other stuff was
in
my opinion.
The thing that I desperately wanted with the Wii was a good Star Wars game where you could swing lightsabers around.
Now they did have one,
and
but
they had Jedi something or other,
Jedi Academy or whatever.
It was, I don't know if it was Academy, it was something with Ahsoka Tano. And so I actually had the little lightsaber.
Yeah, they had the lightsaber
attachments.
I think there was a good one on the Xbox 360.
Well, yeah, that was the Kinect.
That was
Star
the Kinect,
Wars.
And that one was not good with the lightsaber. That was terrible with the lightsaber. The best game was the Rancor Rampage.
Yes.
Which, spoilers, watch the last episode of the Book of Boba Fett. It's like that game in reality.
But yeah, so they're coming out with a new sports game for the Switch.
Okay.
They did take away some of the sports that we all knew from the original, but they did add new ones.
What did they take away?
So, well, let's see. What Wii Sports was tennis, bowling, baseball,
boxing,
golf, boxing.
I keep forgetting about golf. I was terrible at that.
They took away boxing because that wasn't very popular. I guess. Yeah.
Everyone I know played boxing.
Everyone loved boxing.
Well, yeah.
But I feel like the boxing would be better, especially now that it's two Joy-Cons.
Yeah.
Right?
So
and I feel like, it would actually be two main controllers in both hands instead of the Wii remote and the nunchuck.
Especially if you're, you know, you have that, you know.
Well, yeah.
That
and then you got free reign punching, too.
Well, what's the name of the Switch game that is like boxing, but they have spring hands?
Oh, Arms?
Yeah,
you can actually play that with the just two Joy-Cons.
Yeah.
It's fun, but you know the gimmick. I feel like it would be more fun if it were still a sports game.
Yeah, right.
But I kind of see why. But they also took away baseball, which I'm kind of sad about. I liked playing baseball.
I love baseball.
I'm
terrible at baseball, but I loved playing that game.
Now. They did bring back a classic from Wii Sports Resort, which was sword fighting.
Oh.
They brought back that.
The fencing was cool.
Yes.
The fencing was cool.
Yes.
The fencing was cool.
They brought that back into this game. So, but they added, was it three new games? No. Yeah, three new games.
Okay.
Volleyball.
Badminton. Okay, badminton's like tennis.
And last one, but not least, soccer. Soccer.
Soccer is all about your feet.
Yes.
Unless you're goalie.
Now, they're selling. So with the physical version of the game, I'm not trying to sell this to anybody.
Oh, my gosh.
But with the physical version of the game, it's coming with a strap that goes on your leg.
Really?
That houses the Joy-Con.
Oh, my gosh.
And uses it as a motion for kicking.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Yes, yes, yes.
So now we're going to kick some TVs down off the wall, Eichel.
Well, yeah, so it's in a zipper strap. I'm pretty sure it's a zipper. I kind of paid attention, but I wasn't at the same time because right after that was the demonstration of volleyball, and I was not paying attention.
So I think now would be a good time to...
Thank you, Margaret.
...to plug the library's new 3D printers.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, it would be.
So, yeah, shameless self-promotion. We were able to secure some funds, some federal funds through the State Library of Ohio through an ARPA grant. And part of that grant is for us to have take our create space and add some extra equipment that we can take then on a van throughout the community. But as a preview on the 21st,
yes,
we're going to be having an open house, and you can do some 3D printing. So you may want to 3D print something for your Joy-Cons to hold them to your feet to play soccer.
I mean, hey. Instead of buying the sports accessories, you can print your own.
Print your own.
Look at that.
So yeah, we don't have any files and we don't do any designs.
Yeah, no.
And don't steal anyone's intellectual property, please.
Yes.
But hey, yeah, we could do that. The 3D printing, and we can also do some fun things there. We have a couple of different lasers. We can do some fun things there too.
Now with the sports game, still, there's going to be a free update in the fall.
Okay.
That adds golf.
Yeah.
It's not coming out with golf, but it's adding golf.
I don't know. I grew up in a community with like 5-6 golf courses, and it's never been my thing. I like the driving range. I like putt-putt, but golf's never been my thing. I'm not knocking it. If you love golf, that awesome. Go, that's cool. And some of my closest friends love golf. So, I don't know. Do they have So sports was awesome with the Wii.
Yes, yes.
And then when Sonic and Mario Olympics came out,
yes,
that was the other game we played out of.
They did have a new one come out recently.
For the Switch?
Yes. That was for, what was it, Tokyo? Yes, Tokyo, because it got canceled. But they still came out with the game for 2020.
Oh, that's fun.
So they still came out with that.
Uh-huh.
And it was about the same gimmick.
Yeah.
But I think a little bit less.
See, I found, if I remember correctly, the Sonic and Mario Olympics at one point had archery, and I found that archery.
That was London 2012.
Was it London? Yes. I found that one was cool. That was very cool to do with the Wii remote and stuff.
Well,
to do.
Sports Resort also had archery.
Did it have archery?
Yes.
Yeah.
No one knew about that, but it did.
Yeah, that was fun. I liked that. I liked that very much.
I played too much Wii games.
There's a couple of it. I think the three of us probably have done a decent amount of archery.
Hold on, say it again, Colt.
Was it
London?
2012 was London.
Yes.
Yeah.
London was 2012.
With archery?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they had the weird block design for 2012.
Yep.
And then, there was, the gimmick I was telling you about with, the strap for soccer?
Yeah.
Guess what?
Yeah.
It's only available for one mode at launch.
Yeah.
And it's a kicking range.
Wow.
That's all it's available for. Until the update in fall, which actually allows you to use the strap in soccer.
It hurts my head now.
I know.
Why does Nintendo always have these false starts with stuff?
Well, Nintendo has a great idea.
Yeah.
And then it's just brick wall. Wait, hold on. We have an update that's coming later that will actually. Yeah, we'll fix this.
We're going to give you this really cool thing, but it's not going to work. And then we're going to fix it in a couple of months.
Yeah. And not completely knocking Nintendo.
No,
but
I love my Nintendos. I think just about one of everything at this point, because I'm a game collector, game unit, a console collector. But oh my gosh,
yeah.
Well, I still have the bongos.
Yeah,
the GameCube bongos. Oh
yeah.
So wow. All right.
Off from Nintendo. Elsewhere.
Let's try something else here. So, all right. So we've talked a couple times recently about SpaceX. And
spaceships.
And if you guys know, I'm very fascinated by space. I love everything to do with going to space. Whether it's government funded like NASA or commercially funded like Blue Origins or SpaceX. But so our friends at SpaceX, they got to learn about the solar system the hard way.
Oh no.
So at this point, SpaceX has put up 49 satellites. That's very awesome. There was a giant radiation burst from good old Sol, our sun, which caused a geomagnetic storm, which check out 40 of the 49 satellites that they had launched by SpaceX.
So a good 90-ish percent of just like wiped that. Out.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah. I don't know. As far as I can tell, everything I've read, they're toast. There's not like, they're just knocked out. We can go up and fix them or something.
Or we can try to turn them on somehow.
Yeah. We're like the Mars rover, who I love the Mars rover because when that thing actually dies, I'm going to be sad because it's just such a trooper.
Yeah.
I just saw a picture recently of the Mars rover. It took a shot of its wheel.
Yeah.
And how busted up. There's holes and stuff. But it's like, I'm still running.
I'm still going.
I'm still going. You know, it's like the Energizer Bunny of stuff. But yeah, so SpaceX, it was like, I don't know how many billions of dollars. One good solar burp, basically. If that's how I describe it. It just, the sun just exuded some radiation, one big burp, and whoosh, gone.
Done.
Yeah. I mean, that's why we have our magnetic field around Earth. That's why Mars doesn't have an atmosphere, and that's why other places like Jupiter and stuff, Venus, is toast because without that magnetic field, the only other entity that has a magnetic field is Jupiter, oddly enough. And their magnetic field goes all the way to Saturn. Yes. So I have a first grader, so we know a lot about science and space because that's what we do at home a lot. So yeah, I'm gonna random space facts for y'all. SpaceX lost 40 satellites. 40. And here's the thing. All that space junk we have up there that we've been keeping track of, at some point, that thing's going to be a problem. So all these dead satellites that we just put up, I'm waiting for the space garbage truck to come along and, like, scoop them
up. I'm waiting for the space, just space massive Roomba. Net.
Space Roomba.
Space Roomba.
Space Roomba.
If we ever could get a mascot, Space Roomba would be our mascot for here.
Absolutely.
So did you guys see that they're going to, I don't mean to take
no, your you're
story,
fine, you're fine.
Did you see in 2023, they're going to decommission the International Space Station and drop it into the Pacific?
Yes, I heard about that.
That kind of makes me cry because I can remember, like, you know, the first talk about that, I was in middle school. And it's like, oh, that's so far away and stuff. And now we're like, we've been there for how long? And now we're going to drop it in the ocean. But we're going to have something new. So what else you got, Charlie?
All right. So very, very Italian automaker named Ferrari.
I never heard of them.
I know. No one's ever heard of them,
right?
No one's
ever heard of them.
You know, the horse and the red shield. Yeah, never totally. No one's ever heard of them, right?
Never saw them.
They're cooperating with Snapdragon. So the smartphone chip maker.
Snapdragon processors.
Yes.
They're awesome processors.
Three.
Interesting. We got 3 minutes?
Wait, no. I think he was pointing at the change to the three. There's nothing to show here.
There's nothing to show. Sorry, camera three. Sorry.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm like, I didn't understand that. That's fine. But they are working together to work with their in-car, like, smart devices. So, okay. Like some of the family cars from like Chevrolet and stuff like that. They're like the home screen stuff in the middle.
Yeah.
Like the pad screens.
Yeah.
They are noticing limitations in their own electronical, you know,
they're on
component stations and stuff like that.
Development, yeah.
They're noticing that that's slowly going out and they need to put stuff in now because they're actually starting to make family cars. Now
a family Ferrari,
yeah,
I'm totally down with
that. I mean,
that.
There was not California. I don't remember exactly what it's called, but it was a hatchback sedan. Also, Lamborghini has done a few family cars too.
Lamborghini has actually had some family cars. They've had some like station wagon looking cars or hatchbacks. They had an all wooden car once too. It was all handmade.
Huh.
The whole body was wood.
It was just wood.
It was. I'm not pulling your leg.
So
I have to find it somewhere.
So it's kind of like the idea of the Cybertruck, where it's just like a full block of it's not full block, but it looks like a full block of aluminum
milled out. Yeah. No, it was like handcrafted, so it was all it was like all wood, all fancy wood and stained and stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll have to see if I can find a picture of it.
Yeah. So with that, Ferrari has actually put Snapdragon on the main sponsor tab of their F1 cars.
Interesting.
So they're a premium sponsor now of everything, but they're slowly working to get that cluster of gauges and stuff worked on and making it look cooler and hopefully a little bit better running than
that's
what
the,
they had.
That's the one thing I've always noticed is a lot of the top end cars, you know, you kind of expect, you know, that they're going to be like, the technology is going to be like amazing. And it's usually not. Mm-mm. It's usually pretty lame. Like, I can remember sitting in, what was it? It was Porsche. It was a Porsche a couple of years ago at the auto show. So it hadn't been before COVID with the auto show. And I'm sitting in there, and this is, we're modern. I mean, I got a, you know, I got a touch screen, you know, in my now, daily driver.
I have an older car. Well, I don't have one. I'm still getting there.
You're recently graduated student. Yes. Trust me, we all start out with
hey,
something
you know
that
what?
Needs to go up a little
bit. I love having the fact that I only have the digital. No, 7 change. It's a 7 change.
7 change. Okay, sorry. Don't mean to mock
don't
the Taurus.
Don't diss
not,
it.
Not knocking the Taurus. We're such nerds sometimes.
It does knock, though. Especially since it's been sitting for too long.
Yeah. But
yeah, it is.
But, you know, that's the thing. I mean, I have sat, and, you know, I like to go to car shows and stuff. Yeah. I'm not, you know, a huge motorhead. But, like, I'll sit in some of these, you know, high-end sports cars. And I'm looking around. I'm like, well, this is a terrible stereo. Mm-hmm. Or why don't we have more cameras on this thing? Or, like, you know. Now, I sat in some really high-end luxury cars, though.
Yeah.
You know. And I have been blown away with the technology in some of the higher end luxury cars, like the things from Rolls and stuff like that. Jaguar has some pretty Land Rover, Jaguar, some of those high end, like luxury.
Yeah, like true luxury cars.
Yeah,
yes.
They have technology.
Oh, yeah.
But like your high performance cars, you know, like I would say probably the like most terrible looking interior I've ever seen in my entire life was in a Lamborghini.
Well, yeah, because it's stripped.
Yeah. It's I realize it's stripped of performance, but like this was the one that wasn't, it was like the daily driver Lamborghini.
Yeah.
Because there was a guy living near me who had one, and the one day I was out and, you know, I waved at him and stuff, and he stopped, and so we were talking, you know, because he wanted to stop and talk about his Lamborghini, because
that's what they do.
If you're on Lamborghini.
Lamborghini so owners do that.
He was really cool. He you know, we're talking and stuff. And I'm looking inside, kind of like looking at the interior and stuff. And I'm like, wow, that's lame. Really lame.
Yeah.
And I mean, I didn't think it was appealing at all. You know, some of my favorite interiors are like from family cars.
Yeah.
You know, like I drive a Dodge Charger. I like my interior. I like how my instrument cluster is. I do like the Tesla's instrument cluster.
Yes.
And I like how Ford has done a lot of their 250s, 150, 250 trucks with the instrument cluster. Yeah. And like the Raptor cluster. Really nice. You know, but to put in perspective, I spent half my life driving in a car to go to some job, either as a consultant or driving an hour to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
So my perspective is it has to be comfortable and it has to have a good sound system, because I'm going to be listening to a book. I'm going to be listening to music. I'm going to be listening to, I used to say radio, not as much anymore. I don't care how fast I get there. As long as I'm like, you know, not hobbling because my back hurts.
And, yes.
You know, bored to tears because I'm on the road for 2 hours, you know, so I don't know. You know how had a weird instrument cluster?
Who?
The DeLorean. I mean, I know you've seen the DeLorean like in Back to the Future, but like look at a untouched DeLorean.
Yeah, I've seen one.
And you're like, wow. I mean, it's 80s. I'm from the 80s, but like, wow.
I mean, a cool cluster that I've seen. I play a lot of racing games, so it's like they're all like already there clusters. Mm-hmm. They're not like you turn them off, turn them back on. You see the turn on animation. The newer Ford GTs.
Oh, the Ford GTs are they're
because
cool.
those clusters are kind of like the Tesla one, where it's like a solid sheet of glass across
mm-hmm.
in like front of you.
Glass across,
but
yeah.
instead of like the typical like circle gauge cluster, mm-hmm. it's the RPM bar cluster. Mm-hmm. And I love that for some
Ooh,
reason.
That's nifty. You know who had one that looked kind of like that? The Chrysler LeBaron had an option
Ooh, yes.
for a fully electronic instrument panel. So it was all LEDs. That was 80 something. Yeah,
I say I think
the LeBaron kind
of
had
one of,
that.
One of my friends was talking about that because there's one that I think it was the same car, maybe a different one, but there was one with an included CRT monitor.
Yes,
that sat in the center console.
Yeah. That was there was a version of a couple of versions of the LeBaron that had actually CRT monitors. Yeah,
Chuck, on your laptop, look up the Corvette C4 cluster.
Let's just do C4 or no?
No,
never mind.
That'll be plastic explosive.
Nope.
We're not gonna promote that.
I can't spell. There it is.
Digital cluster.
Is it C8?
Yeah.
You're talking about C8 cluster. Nope. Okay. I guess that works.
It was C4.
C4.
Oh, it's the C4.
C4.
And that is not how you spell it.
So while Charlie's doing a search, So I should say, hey, you know, we have our our create space, and we have a lot of cool things in there.
This one looks like an airplane.
You know what that looks like? That looks like Knight Rider. It looks like the kit instrument cluster from Knight Rider. That was an awesome instrument cluster. Let me tell you.
This is another one from the C4.
Oh, that's cool.
I haven't seen that one.
That's very cool.
Yeah, I think that's
the one I was talking
about. Yeah. That's cool.
I don't see what the difference is between
that these. Is 80s.
That's well, it's well, total this, 80s. This that's is total 80s, 80s. Yes. That's total 80s. But that's cool. That's cool.
Now this
though.
Is this is it in the car.
Yeah.
This is what it would look like.
Yeah.
This is the 84 cluster. A little bit different.
Yep.
But yeah, that's cool.
That's cool. All right. So jump back to us then.
Oops, I closed that out.
Okay. Yep. He closed it out.
That's
he closed it out.
Fine.
Oh, no. So, yeah, so again, we have our create space. Feel free to schedule an appointment because we have a lot of cool equipment. We have vinyl cutters. We have laminators. We have 3D printers. We have lasers to engrave things. We have vacuum formers. We've got some other really cool things coming soon, like a CNC carving machine, milling machine. So, and while Charlie's still doing his thing, I'm going to jump into another story. So I believe this was today. Or released today, ARPA, or DARPA, who, by the way, again, created the internet. So thank you, DARPA, for allowing us to be streaming right now. They have, ready for this one? The system is called Alias.
Okay.
And it stands for Autonomous, Aircraft Labor in Cockpit Automation System. That just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
Totally.
Alias.
Yeah.
But it's an autonomous flight system for a Black Hawk helicopter. So DARPA has been doing autonomous cars for a number of years now. You know, they're the ones who are pioneering the self-driving cars and all that stuff. But so they had a self-flying helicopter.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, we were talking a little bit before that, you know, as we were getting ready for the show tonight. Well, why on earth would you want a self-flying? In fact, I think it was Colt who said, why not just do a drone, right?
Yeah.
Well, see, I wasn't thinking like we're going to fly the helicopter into battle. I was thinking more along the lines of in the worst case scenario, the pilot is hurt or knocked unconscious or something like that during the flight. Or during a regular, maybe this is even commercial flights. The pilot of your airliner passes out. You know, maybe it's a cabin depressurization and he or she passes out. I wasn't even thinking about it until just now. So this autonomous flight could then say, well, okay, the obviously the pilot is unconscious. Everybody else seems to be unconscious. We can detect that. It's pretty easy to figure out. Let's find a way to land the plane. In this case, you know, in the worst case scenario, the helicopter pilot is hurt or incapacitated and we need to get our troops back out of the battlefield. So the pilot is incapacitated. This thing kicks on, flies us home. Everybody gets saved, hopefully. You know, all the troops, you know, I absolutely, when it comes to protecting people. I'm all for this kind of technology. Now there's the whole Skynet aspect of Skynet's going to take all of our helicopters and, you know, but whatever on that. I'm thinking more along the lines of, you know, how do we, when it all goes upended, how do we get our people back? How do we land a plane? You know, someone scans Sully Sullenberger's brain and make sure that it's on every single commercial flight in this autonomous thing to land that plane, you know? So do you got another one going?
Yeah,
we're doing pretty good on time this time.
Yeah.
I don't know if I didn't ramble enough or what, or well, last time we had problems with your mic.
So. Yeah. So we kind of took time of doing that.
Yeah.
So
I'm checking all my news feeds on my watch real quick.
So we all know Mazda, right? We all know
we try to.
The car company, right?
We try to. Some of us own Mazdas around here.
Yeah.
Not me. But.
So some of the, I don't know what they mean by head units, to be completely honest with you. Are being bricked by local NPR station in Seattle.
Well, so when they say head units, they mean the radio.
The radio?
They mean the radio cluster. Yeah.
Okay. So the radio clusters are being bricked by a certain radio station in Seattle.
Dang, NPR. You know, you want people to listen, not to not listen. That's not how this works. So why is it being bricked? Does it say?
Let's see.
And by the way, we should explain, when we say bricked, it means that something in the software has caused whatever device it is, whether it's a phone, a television, a computer, to not be working, and it might as well be a brick. So what bricked it?
Let's see. Let's see.
Because HD radio has some digital stuff to it, and that's probably what it is HD radio.
The issue, some owners reported losing Bluetooth connectivity and ability to play CDs, as well as a disabled backup camera.
Well, that's no fun.
And powerless USB ports for charging phones. One user warned against disconnecting the car's 12-volt battery when troubleshooting. You can lose the ability to even listen to this.
Well, wow, that's usually my MO. In all honesty, when I'm trying to troubleshoot things like that, is one of the easiest ways to reboot your car is to pop the battery. Because I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever had a dead battery where basically you go in and you realize that your all your presets on your radio are wiped, all of your settings are all wiped on your car and stuff like that. Because I've had to do that before. I was flashing flash updating some software in my car, and I had an oops, and so I rebooted my car. Now I did not do this while driving.
Okay,
it's important.
Here's
oh,
the
got
issue.
It? Got it.
What the unsuspecting consumer tuning in discovered was a bug in the car's informant software that crashed after trying to load the HD radio broadcast image the radio station submitted. The image file was missing an extension and the infotainment software could not decode it and had no process for handling it. So basically over...
I've rubbed my eyes a lot tonight.
Yes, there's been a lot of... why did this happen moments.
Face palming.
A lot.
So I, you know, I write code. I was trained to write code. I'm not the best person to ever write code in the history of planet, but original training. When you write your code, you make as many ways to catch when that thing loses its mind as possible.
Yes.
Usually the last line of code is something to say, if all else fails, do this, you know? So it's kind of sad that basically it's missing an extension, which could be the .jpg is in all honesty, or .png or .gif.
Yeah. So now this would have been a $1,500 repair.
Whoosh.
But Mazda has put out there that they're going to make it a Goodwill repair, and it's not going to cost any owners of these cars a dime.
Because I would totally class action lawsuit that one. I'm not a litigious person, but if, like, your software bricked my car because you weren't careful enough to put in some catch code for an error or unexpected stuff, and I mean, trust me, I write code. People give you unexpected stuff. I never anticipated people to put things in web forms that they put in there. It's surprising. But, oh my gosh.
Yeah, the only thing is, though, is with the current chip shortage and everything else,
yeah,
it could take weeks to months to even get it fixed.
Well, I don't think it'll actually be a chip replacement. What they'll probably do is they'll probably, because you can, used to be used the UV light. You could take a non-volatile chip and use a UV light and it would reset it. Okay. Because that's why they had little stickers on them. You mm-hmm. take the sticker off, hit it with a UV light, you reset it.
Well, they're
reprogram it.
They're saying that it could have been fixed with a software update, but it turns out the solution is to replace the CMU.
Really? So they are dropping chips.
Yes. Oh, Colt.
So Colt's giving us
Colt in the back.
He's giving us the hook soon. We've got like five minutes.
5 minutes.
All right. So that's fascinating.
Yeah, but they're going to fix it free of charge anyone.
Good on you, Mazda. Good on you, Mazda, for going now, out there and doing it.
This
for
also
free.
Means that hopefully Mazda will put out an update for everybody that owns these cars.
Yeah.
That they don't brick anywhere else around the country besides the one.
Yeah, that would be a service recall. So you'd want to go back to your dealer or somebody who can do a software flash.
Mazda has not put out an update yet for it. So they're only going to do this for the people in Seattle that have had the cars bricked already.
So we all work with someone who owns a Mazda. So we're going to have to let her know not to drive
to
Seattle.
If she's not watching right now.
Yeah, she might be watching. I don't know. But yeah. So tell her not to drive to Seattle. She listens to NPR.
Okay, don't listen to.
She listens to NPR.
KUOW Public Radio.
Yeah.
The 94.9 FM.
And the thing is, I'm not blaming the NPR station either.
Oh, yeah.
You should have put your extension in your thing. That's good code there, too. I'm calling people out. They're going to look at my code and go, this thing has Swiss cheese, but whatever.
yeah, it's all good.
Okay. So got a couple more things. Because we've got a little bit of time left.
I think with the 5 minutes, I think you'll end off with yours. I don't know.
We'll see how we go. So let's see. I do want to talk a little bit about QR codes. And I meant to mention this in the last episode, but I think we didn't run out of time. So QR codes, quick response codes, those are little codes you scan with your phone that load apps or take you to a map or whatever. And I'm surprised it took this long. QR code scams.
Yeah.
So people are replacing QR codes with malicious URLs.
Man, isn't that ironic and hilarious at the same time?
Yeah. Yeah. So you're taking a sticker and putting it over top of a sticker.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of fascinating.
So
I'm not saying don't trust QR codes, but I'm saying we're going to have to start not trusting QR codes
it's basically
entirely. Because I'm going to put QR codes around the library.
It's basically the same thing with the credit card readers that went over top the original ones.
Yeah.
And it just, you put your card in not thinking about it and then you pulled it out.
Scans it in,
exactly,
in line.
In line. But the only thing with the QR code is that if it scans and it goes somewhere else already, you're kind of out of luck.
Yeah. I mean, I could, I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of technology out there that if you had access to that technology and you did nefarious things, it's pretty easy to take over a phone or take over a lot of things. So I don't want you all out there to be terrified of scanning a QR code because I use QR codes here for a lot of our marketing stuff. What I'm saying is that we're going to need to start being a little more cautious of what we're scanning. So if there's a sticker over top of a QR code, now sometimes it's because the QR code got broken or someone didn't do their job right and it's not set up correctly.
Yes.
But I'm serious. You need to start paying attention to what you're scanning.
Especially
if it looks weird, don't scan it because people scan QR codes in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like geocaching, mm-hmm. scan QR codes. Like, no, know what you're scanning.
Yeah.
If you see a QR code from the library, it's probably cool to scan. If you see a QR code from the ecology department at the Madison High School, all of their plants are labeled, scan that one. It's really cool. They've done a lot of cool things with it. But don't scan random QR codes or QR codes with lots of stickers mm-hmm. on top of things.
The other thing is that if there are QR codes on social media anywhere, make sure you know what who's posting it.
Yeah.
If it's some random person posting a QR code from us, maybe don't trust it. Maybe see if we posted something on our original page.
Exactly.
Because if we did, then that's the QR code you want to use because they could have easily just Photoshopped another
like
QR code.
Like our newsletter has a QR code in it. Trust the QR code in our newsletter currently. It works fine. That's just something to think about. But there's so many – that's the thing. Whenever I talk about security, people need antacid usually afterwards.
Yes.
But there are so many ways that, things can be hacked. It's really easy. But in the same instance, you can't just go without technology. That just doesn't happen. I mean, you know, even the people who live off grid use solar panels. Mm-hmm. There's technology everywhere.
There's some form of technology.
There's some form of technology. And I think I'm gonna leave us on a happy note. On a happy note.
Okay.
Yay.
So, researchers in the United Kingdom and part of Oxford and a couple other entities, joint European thing, made another big step in cold fusion.
Ooh.
Yeah. And well, it's not totally cold fusion, but it's fusion. Close enough. A fusion reaction, not a fission reaction. So Perry, fission reaction, splitting, fusion reaction, putting stuff together. So fusion is basically our limitless power. And so I'm going to read this exactly how I made sure I got it. So the joint European Taurus being the shape, not your car, but the shape of a donut. Taurus experiment near Oxford managed to produce a record amount of heat energy over a 5-second period. I know 5 seconds isn't a lot, which was the duration of the experiment. So 5 seconds doesn't seem like a whole lot, but 5 seconds in these quantum number schemes, that's like we just produced 4 years of power. So it's very fascinating that we're making these giant leaps, because I talked about a fusion story, a couple of times ago.
I think so, yeah.
Where these leaps are happening. And will we have fusion in our lifetime? Maybe. It used to be, I would always joke, like, there's no way on earth we're having fusion in our lifetime.
I mean, says the story from last time that you talked about, warp drive.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of for like
we found
minuscule
a we found,
possibility, we found a, we but found it still field. Works.
We found a real life warp. And that was DARPA again, by the way. Them DARPA people, you guys rock. So fusion and Taurus. So by the way, the official, because I learned this because of my son, the official name of the donut shape. Okay. So that circular donut, think donut, think Homer Simpson donut. That is a Taurus. It's Taurus. So not quite like the bull, not quite like your car, but a Taurus. So with that, hey, we could have fusion pretty soon. That'd be awesome. So hey, thanks for joining us. Thanks for tuning in. We always appreciate it. You guys want to say thanks too?
Yes, thank you for joining us today. If you need a learning coach, please call up the library and we'll schedule one for either with me or Joe. Specifically, create space stuff for Joe. I'm more the tech guy for most of it. But if I'm not here, Joe and Sean will take over for me.
Yep, we can do things for you. Cool. Got anything?
We appreciate you watching.
Yep, we appreciate you. So, hey, have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful morning. Have a wonderful evening, whenever you watch us.
Or listen to us.
Yes, by the way, all of this stuff is a podcast. We have several podcasts out there. We are on every major podcast platform you can think of, from iTunes to Google. You can listen to us in your car. You'll miss some of the happy, fun, awesomeness of our faces. And, well, you'll just listen to Colt all the time, but I'm going to put a camera on him soon.
oh, boy.
Yeah, I know.
Got to get the webcam.
I have a webcam for him. So, hey, so here we are. So be safe out there. Be healthy. Be happy. And be awesome.
Have a good night.
Yep.